Good afternoon. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels, President of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and Distinguished Lecturer Emeritus from York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this pre-Juneteenth edition of Vantage Point, pre-Juneteenth, pre-HR 40 on the move, day of action edition of Vantage Point. Here on 99.5 FM, that's WBAI, on the Pacifica Network, in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right. This is a fired up season. As Reverend Daughtry used to say, fired up and ready to go. And that's what we are today. We're going to be popping with pop, among other things. That is, Larry Hamm will be joining us, the longtime distinguished, indefatigable chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, to talk about all the work they're doing, but also looking at H.R. 40 and the New Jersey Say the Name reparations campaign, all of that good stuff, for a very, very powerful interview with Larry Hamm coming up. But before I do that, let me just give you a couple of other tidbits. And our studio announcer, Reggie, will be hopefully pleased to hear this. There is a new film out, a new film called The Big Payback. It is a film which is done, co-produced by Erica Alexander, of course, of living single fame. And it is one of the executive producers is Joy Reid. This film really looks at the Evanston Reparations Initiative. It also looks at the work of Congresswoman Sheeta Jackson Lee. And it even included yours truly in the mix. In fact, Reggie will recall, we brought a team, a film crew, over to the studio to sort of cover me live as I was doing a show. Maybe we were doing on reparations that day. And so the film was premiered this last Sunday at the Tribeca Film Festival. Lord, it was a great event. I'm not used to this red carpet treatment and all this stuff. And Congresswoman Sheeta Jackson Lee was there, Joy Reid, Erica Alexander, of course, Robin Ruth Simmons, the great visionary behind Evanston. They were all there. And then we sat down to see the film itself. And lo and behold, I think the film begins with the professor saying, "Welcome to Vantage Point," and taking a question about reparations. So WBAI is all up in this new film. And, of course, there will be a free screening, by the way. I don't know whether the word has gotten to WBAI or not. But there will be a free screening of The Big Payback at Apollo Theater on Juneteenth in the afternoon. I think about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Hopefully that information will be coming through to WBAI so that our listeners, it's free. So you can, no cost. You just have to register for it. And you'll be able to go see it, and I'm all up in it, a little bit. You'll see me 2-3 times up in the movie, in this film, because, we do play a little role in the reparations movement. So it's really quite a wonderful film, and it's really about not only the Evanston Initiative, but it also talked a great deal about H.R. 40, and of course, Congresswoman Sheeta Jackson Lee was there for the premiere, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful event. Quickly, let me just say that H.R. 40 is at an unprecedented state, a place that I really never envisioned in my lifetime that we'd be on the verge of actually getting H.R. 40 across the finish line. Actually, we'll be talking to Larry Hamm a great deal about that, but also the other tremendous work that is being done by the People's Organization for Progress. But we want our listeners to take down this address or this place to go, this website. It is reparations. Y'all can spell that out, right? Reparations.com. The com has two N's, C-O-M-M, .org. That is the place that we'll be directing you to go tomorrow as we create a wave, a veritable wave, a wave of support, encouraging a executive order be created by one President Biden. So tune in, write that down, reparationscom.org will be the place to go. So now I'm really, really delighted to have join us once again. No stranger, of course, to our audience here at WBAI, staunch friend, staunch ally. And, of course, WBAI also a staunch ally and supporter of the People's Organization for Progress. And, of course, Larry Hamm. Chairman Larry Hamm, welcome again to Vantage Point.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Daniels, and thank you for having me on your program today.
Well, one of the things I want to say is that the congratulations to the POP. I've said this before. I was having a conversation with someone the other day. A lot of the organizations that popped up have also pooped out. We don't have them anymore. It is absolutely amazing that the People's Organization for Progress continues relentlessly educating, mobilizing, organizing, but not just that, acting specifically with particular programs and actions, including a steadfast support for H.R. 40 and, of course, the local campaign, not local, but the New Jersey campaign, which is underway to create a New Jersey task force around reparations. So I just want to begin by commending you for holding it together. I was telling somebody, if you go to the Thursday meetings, some people can't even have week monthly meetings, let alone weekly meetings. POP continues to have weekly meetings, and last time I checked, it'd be 40, 50, 70, sometimes 100 people there, you know, in those meetings. So it is really, 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 really a powerful organization. So we wanna POP today, and I'm going to start off by just asking you, because I know the People's Organization for Progress has been strongly supporting H.R. 40, and my question to you is, why has POP and you been strongly supporting this initiative?
Well, Dr. Daniels, first of all, thank you for being so complimentary about our organization. People's Organization for Progress is observing its 40th anniversary this year, 40 years since we held our first program in March of, I believe, it was 1982. On the economic crisis and its impact on the Black community. That was the economic crisis back then. We're still in economic crisis.
That's right.
But the People's Organization for Progress is a grassroots, all-volunteer organization working for racial, social, economic justice and peace. We see ourselves in the historical tradition and legacy of the Black Liberation Movement. And so being that type of an organization, from the very beginning, when you look at the 10 core demands, we have a multi-issue agenda of many demands, but we have a document called the 10 core demands of the People's Organization for Progress. Reparations is number one. It was number one in 1982, 92, 02, 12, and it's still number one today. We actually had John Conyers march with us in Newark. I believe it was at our People's March for Justice, drawing several thousand people. This was back in the early 1990s. And he came to Newark and addressed both the issues of reparations. Many people don't know John Conyers had also put in a bill around the same time as the reparations bill for Medicare for All, for universal.
That's right, absolutely.
Healthcare. So that also is a part of our agenda. So because of our history and because of the orientation of our organization and because of our goals and aspirations and because we are an organization based in the African American community whose ancestors were enslaved in this country, it is only natural and right for us to demand reparation for the descendants of Africans that were enslaved here in the United States and throughout the Western Hemisphere. Reparations, of course, we're demanding reparations of the U.S. government for slavery in the United States. But black people all around the world are demanding reparations for their enslavement in their respective countries.
Right. And so, yeah, that's strong. And as I said before, we're knocking on the door in a way that has been very, very impressive. 217 votes, including 196 co-sponsors and 20 yes votes if it hits the floor. And when you add in the visionary, courageous leader, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who inherited the torch from John Conyers, that's 217 that could go to a floor vote and would win. We would get a floor vote. However, we're not interested in just getting moral victories. And so everybody knows how difficult it is to get things through the Senate of the United States. They're wrestling now with some kind of gun control legislation, and it is down to quote unquote something. Something. I mean, it's so desperate. I mean, it's so bad. The Republican rejectionism has been so bad that it's down to just getting something. And the something will be just a little bit. But they finally got 10 Republicans, apparently, who are willing to sign on. There is no possibility of it going through the Senate at all. So it must inevitably be by executive order. And that means that it has to be done by the current president of the United States, Biden, who has signaled his willingness to do so. We're just trying to create a wave of support around those lines, and therefore we have declared tomorrow H.R. 40 on the move, H.R. 40 on the move, Action Day. And we're asking people to create that wave of support that Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee has called for. And again, I will continue to repeat reparationscom.org. Write that down. You can even go take a look at it right now. It's there. And all you have to do is go to reparationscom.org, tomorrow, and you click. It's almost like a robocall. You can click and send your message in. And we want to create a flood, a tide of support tomorrow. And we've asked the People's Organization for Progress, because it is an organized organization, has the capacity to do this, to in fact help with that. And I know that it is being done because I'm on the list and I got my message telling me what to do already from the People's Organization for Progress. Well, now I want to shift.
You can thank our vice chairwoman, Ingrid Hill, for that. She got the information that you sent to us. And yes, the People's Organization for Progress is 100% supporting this day of action tomorrow. I join with you, Dr. Daniels, in urging everyone to call the White House and demand that President Biden do an executive order, because we know, although the House could probably pass and may probably pass H.R. 40, the reparations bill, the House version, we know it will get locked up in the Senate.
Right.
So we join with you in calling on President Biden to issue an executive order, in essence, implementing H.R. 40, because we can't wait any longer. This country has provided reparations to other peoples, reparations to Japanese Americans, reparations to Jewish Americans who were enslaved in Nazi concentration labor camps in Europe and other groups. It's time for this country to, what is it, the December 12th movement says, they stole us, they sold us. Now it's time, they owe us, it's time for them to pay us back.
Right, absolutely. So now I also want to, you've been very active in working with the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, Ryan Haygood, to also get something going in New Jersey. By the way, California just issued a 500-word report. The California was the first one to break through to create an H.R. 40 type task force, and they've been busy for an entire year. They just issued their interim report, which is just has all kind of incredibly powerful recommendations, not just dealing with California, but harms and injuries that have been inflicted across the country. We're eager to see New York come on board. Councilman Charles Barron, I talked to him the other day. His bill was reintroduced, passed the lower house again, now waiting for action in the Senate. But there's an energetic effort also underway in the state of New Jersey. I think the Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee has picked up on it. Say the word reparations, I think, is the title of the campaign. So let us know, what's the status of the New Jersey effort?
Well, the New Jersey effort has been going on actually for decades, Dr. Daniels. At first, there was a reparations bill that was introduced by Assemblyman Craig Stanley and Assemblyman Bill Payne back in 2003. Mm. That bill was released for the committee, put on the floor for a vote. But the Speaker of the Assembly never brought the bill to the floor for a vote, and it died. So 30 years later, almost 30 years later, a new reparation bill has been introduced, a bill that mirrors H.R. 40. People should think of it as the state version, New Jersey state version, of the Congressional Reparations Bill, H.R. 40. It, too, would create a task force on reparations and then make recommendations to the state legislature on reparations, on how reparations would be implemented, on what the reparations would be, so on and so forth. So that bill is Assembly Bill A-938 and Senate Bill S-386, A-938, S-386. And that version, which I believe it was in one version in the last assembly session, and it has been reintroduced in this assembly session. I believe the bill is still in committee. In fact, Dr. Daniels, literally as we speak, member Ryan Haygood and members of his staff and other organizations are testifying on A-938-S-386 before the Assembly Community Development and Affairs Committee, which right. is chaired by Assemblywoman Sumter. They are down there right now speaking in favor of the reparations bill. And I have to say that we need those who are in the WBAI listening audience, we need your help. We want to get this bill voted on and released from committee. We want it brought to the floors of the Assembly and the State Senate for a vote. So we need people to call their State Assembly people and their State Senate people, demand that your representatives sign on as co-sponsors to the New Jersey reparations bill and demand that they bring the bill to a vote and pass the bill so that we can be in the same category as California, which passed not only has passed the reparations bill, but in fact has implemented their reparations commission.
Right. Very good. Really appreciate that update. Just want people to know this is it's on the move. We had hoped to have Councilman Charles Barron on. He is they're in budget deliberations up in Albany. Budget deliberations in city council. So that made it very difficult. I say that because he's been in both hats. So, again, H.R. 40 is on the move. The bill in California is moving and is already putting out interim recommendations and looking forward to it coming into reality in the state of New Jersey. Evanston is issuing vouchers for housing. Actual reparations is being done. It is documented in this film that I just talked to you about called The Big Payback. And, of course, WBAI has a leading role in it because the very first scene in the movie is the professor in the studios of WBAI talking about it and taking a message from a caller. Now, Chairman Ham, Prop has been popping, brother. I mean, I get your message, and I'm just dizzy with all the work that's being done. It's almost like there was a new surge beginning with the all-out effort around the Martin Luther King march and rally and then the subsequent town hall meeting. So I just want you to just give us a sense. And, you know, there are cases that you're asking people to support and be in the courtrooms and marches. And there's just all kinds of things that the People's Organization for Progress is doing. So maybe give us a quick synopsis of what happened with the march and the town hall meeting, and just sort of give us a kind of update on the various initiatives that the People's Organization for Progress is working on right now.
Right. Well, there are many issues. POP is probably known most for its work around the issue of police brutality. Just this past Saturday, Dr. Daniels, we had our first march in the 40-year history of the organization. We marched on the Essex County Jail in Newark, New Jersey. But this wasn't a march in downtown Newark. This was a four-mile march, literally to the outskirts of Newark. Those people who know about Newark know about the Ironbound section. That's the section that you ride through when you're on the New Jersey Turnpike. It's literally on the outskirts, the outside boundary of New Jersey, down there in the industrial area where there is no residential housing in that area. And in fact, I learned on Saturday that they had built that jail on the site of a chemical factory. And that area down there has been identified by the Environmental Protection Agency as having some places that are in need of serious environmental remediation because of the pollution down there. But we marched to demand freedom for Justin Rodwell, who is one of the four Rodwell Spivey brothers who we believe were unjustly accosted and arrested and racially profiled by the police. And one of the brothers, Justin, has been in the Essex County Jail for a year. June 1st was his anniversary. He's been in there for a year without trial. And we know that the Constitution of the United States says we're all entitled to a speedy trial and a jury of our peers. So we marched down there to demand the release of Justin, to demand justice for the Rodwell Spivey brothers, who have been in a pretrial hearing throughout this year. In fact, they have another one coming up on July the 12th at 1:30. I'll say more about that in the weeks ahead, because we want the people to come to the courtroom. You know, it's good. It's important for us to protest in the streets, but when these cases come up, we got to go to the court. We got to fill up the courtroom. I know. I've been on trial a number of times in my life. And I'm telling you, when the courtroom is filled with supporters of the defendant, it will have an impact on the outcome of the trial. So we've been demanding justice for the Rodwell Spivey brothers. We've been protesting for justice for Carl Dorsey, who was killed by police a year ago, January 1st, killed by Newark police. We've been marching in Bridgewater, New Jersey. I'm sure a lot of the WBAI listeners know about that case of that young man that was racially profiled in the Bridgewater Mall in New Jersey, where they walked right by the white kid that was fighting with him, and then they accosted him and put handcuffs on him. The white kid put his hands up to be handcuffed. They didn't even handcuff him. So we were marching in Bridgewater to demand justice for the time. We were in the northernmost area of New Jersey. We were in Newton, New Jersey in April, demanding justice for Gulia Dale, Sergeant Major Gulia Dale, Army veteran who was killed by the Newton police. So our hands have been pretty full with police brutality cases. Those are just a few. And as you said, Dr. Daniels, every year POP marches on Dr. King's birthday. We had a march for jobs, equality, justice, and democracy. That was on the King holiday weekend. But then we followed up with a much larger march that was co-sponsored, Dr. Daniels, by 140 organizations. And we had a big turnout in Newark on April 4th, the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. And we were marching, of course, for voting rights, to stop the attack on voting rights. We were marching against police brutality. We were marching for economic justice that Dr. King was fighting for at the end of his life. And we were marching for peace. You know, I know you're aware, Dr. Daniels, that we are, because of this war in Ukraine, we are closer now to the possibility of nuclear war than we have been since the end of World War II.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very dangerous situation. And so now, there are many more things, but the thing I really need to highlight here is that this Friday, the People's Organization for Progress, together with the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, the executive director, our brother Ryan Haygood, we are co-sponsoring with 50 other organizations. 50 other organizations, Dr. Daniels. We're having a Juneteenth march and rally for reparation, justice, and democracy. And that is going to take place this Friday, June 17th. We're going to begin at 12 noon at the Lincoln Statue in Newark, New Jersey. Be sure to put in your GPS, 12 Springfield Avenue. That's the GPS address for the Lincoln Statue, in case you can't find it listed anywhere. 12 Springfield Avenue at the intersection of Springfield Avenue and West Market Street in New Jersey. We're going to rally there at 12 noon, and then at 1:30 we're going to march for reparation to City Hall and rally again at City Hall. And we're really targeting three pieces of legislation. Once again, the New Jersey Reparations Bill, A938S386. A is for Assembly. Assembly Bill 938, Senate Bill 386. The second piece of legislation we're targeting is same-day voter registration. I don't know about New York. I don't think you all have it in New York, and we don't have it in New Jersey. Same-day registration. Why do they have to have a cutoff date with computers and everything that we have? If you're not registered, you should be able to go to the polls, register, and vote on the same day. Mm-hmm. That bill is Assembly Bill 1966, Senate Bill 247. And then lastly, again, we've been fighting Dr. Daniels since 1962. We've been fighting for Police Review Board in Newark. And there's a bill that has been introduced, A1515S2295, that would enable municipalities throughout New Jersey to create police review boards with subpoena power. See, y'all, right. Y'all have one in New York. You've had it since 1966. We don't have one police review board in New Jersey with subpoena power. And if it doesn't have subpoena power and concurrent investigatory powers, it's really toothless.
Right.
So we're targeting those three pieces of legislation.
Right. Wow, that's a pretty huge agenda. So in our closing minutes, I talk about the, and I may be mistaken because, I know there are regular meetings of POP. So tell us how you sustain this and how do people become involved and how does it work that you sustain all this work? So talk to us about the ongoing need to have people involved. And like I said, I am just surprised and shocked that you've just been able to hold on and keep people engaged for all these many years. And like I said, some people, you can hardly get a quarterly meeting, a monthly meeting, let alone a weekly meeting. And yet, without fail, POP keeps popping in terms of its weekly meeting. So give people, I mean, this is an opportunity to get some more people on board.
Well, yes, and we need more members. Like other organizations, some of our members, a lot of our members getting up there in age, Dr. Daniel.
Right.
We need some more members and some younger ones, but we need everybody, because whether you're young or old, there's something for you to do in the movement. You know, there's something for everybody to do. And you asked, Dr. Daniels, you asked, why do we meet once a week? Well, I'm going to tell you, when we first came together in 1981, before we even came up with the name People's Organization for Progress, we were discussing, you know, how we would meet and all of those things. And you and I both, Dr. Daniels, we're associates of our brother went on to join the ancestors of Mary Baraka.
Yes.
You and I were both at Gary, Indiana. We were both delegates. I think
that's
you
right.
Met the Ohio delegation, didn't you, in 1972, and I was part of the New Jersey delegation. But when Amiri Baraka, he was the only African-American that was invited to speak at the funeral of the great revolutionary Amilcar Cabral. And when he came back from Cabral's funeral, he wrote a poem. And it's in his book, I think it's called The Amiri Baraka Reader, called African Revolution. And there was a line in that poem that black people all over the world meet once a week. Black people all over the world meet once a week. And that's what really inspired us. I mean, not just the literary call, but the fact that if you've been in this work for a while, you know you really can't make a lot of headway if you have sporadic meetings or intermittent meetings. You really have to be at this thing. You almost have to give it the same level of professional commitment that you would to a job.
Right.
So that's why we meet once a week. Historically, until the COVID crisis, we met at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey, where Dr. King spoke a week before his assassination. He spoke at Abyssinian on March 27th, that he was assassinated on April the 4th, 1968. So we had been meeting at Abyssinian for almost 20 years, and then COVID came and the church had to close. So since COVID, up until this time, we've been having virtual meetings. And it was difficult at first, you know, adjusting, but we've made the transition. And so we have virtual meetings, Zoom meetings, every Thursday from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And if people want to join the People's Organization for Progress, the easiest thing to do is to call 973-801-0001, 973-801-0001, and give us your information. We'll mail you a membership form, and then we'll mail you the notices for the Zoom membership meetings that we have every Thursday. But Dr. Daniels, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride, man. I don't want people to get the wrong impression. We've had ups and we've had downs. We've had points where Pop seemed like it would go on forever, and we've had points where it seemed like it wouldn't make it one more day.
Yeah,
that's the truth. That's the truth. It's a struggle.
Right.
I don't want to mislead people. The struggle is hard. That's why it's right. called a struggle. It's not what the man says, that not a tea party. You know,
right, right.
It's a struggle. So yes, we want more members. It doesn't matter if you're a member of another organization. That doesn't matter. We only have one requirement. Do you want justice? If you want justice, then you should join the People's Organization
right.
for Progress, and our membership fee is $25 a year.
All right. Well, Chairman Larry Hamm, we so appreciate you spending time with us today. We could take the whole hour. Every time you and I get in a conversation, you either have to shut me up or I have to shut you up, because we got so much to talk about. We got so many issues and so many things to talk about, and you are so extraordinarily knowledgeable on so many things. It's one of the reasons why you continue to provide such great leadership. So, again, give that phone number one more time in terms of how people can call to join.
Yes. One more time, if you're interested in joining People's Organization for Progress, call 973-801-0001, 973-801-0001. And Dr. Daniels, I hope we'll do a show in the future about the upcoming 50th anniversary Gary Convention.
Well, that's on my plate. We're trying to figure out when it's going to happen, and the date keeps changing and all that. But we're certainly going to do something on that because we played a leading role in it, and people need to know the origins, the background, and the impact and the prospects for the future. So we certainly were willing to do that. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Chairman Larry Hamm, People's Organization for Progress.
Power to the people.
All right. So now, again, we're talking about this day of action. Last week, we had the opportunity to hear the voice of Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee directly on this matter of H.R. 40 and why it's so important. So I thought we would bring it back again for you to listen to. And on the other side, we're going to have about maybe 15 minutes of caller interaction for people to call in. So let's now listen once again to Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
And my call to action is this. June 19th is our target, our date. Those of you here, network yourself, raise up your voices, appeal to the United States Congress and the White House for a passage, an executive order for this to become law. Raise your voices, connect a chain of connectedness. Let me see what region has the most emails and Twitter that says, what is this happening? There's something being raised up pointing toward Juneteenth, the day of justice and reparation. Let us make sure that we are voting, getting ready for November 2022 with the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Again, let us make sure that everyone knows that we have worked hard and we did come up with a police reform package signed by President Biden. Thank you, President Biden. Now the perfect mix and match is H.R. 40, the Commission to Study and Develop Reparation Proposals. There is no more waiting. The time is now, Juneteenth 2022. And all of you who are planning your Juneteenth, please recognize that I love you having a good time. But my heart, my soul, my reason for being, for pushing the Juneteenth, for being the first member to introduce the legislation that ultimately was the federal bill and the federal law, was to honor, was to acknowledge that they, the slaves, the ancestors, never got a thank you, never got an acknowledgement. So when you do your Juneteenth, have a moment of somberness, sacredness, singing music, reading about them, poetry, words over them, and say thank you for building America and giving me a platform and a soul and a spirit of which I stand. I would not be who I am had there not been the ancestors to stand on. If they had not had the strength to carry on, to stand, to not just dissolve, they kept on building and picking cotton and being enslaved. They kept on keeping on. And so what can we do? I want to see us to the point of be able to say thank you to this wave, this tsunami, this mountain of Americans from all backgrounds pushing for H.R. 40. That's the action of today. Don't be silent. Hold press conferences in your respective communities. Let the sound get to Washington that you are pushing. And as I know that we will see Opal Lee, who's the grandmother of Juneteenth, she was a justice, and she is a justice fighter. That'll be a gift for her as well.
Yes.
Sister Opal, mother, grandmother, you are going to get an extra gift because we know how you have toiled. I'm the godmother, I'd like to think, but I can't step in the way of the grandmother of Juneteenth. Let's give her a gift of the victory, Dr. Daniels. And so my call to action is no silence after we end this today. And they've got the roadmap. We've given it to them. They can do their own press conference. They can have church meetings. They can meet with the various sororities and children's groups. They can tell stories, storytelling. Tweet it out what you're doing and let the wave push us to a signed H.R. 40 into law by an executive order on June 19, 2022. Let me feel you. Let me see you moving. Let me raise you up. I want to see headlines in the local papers. Reparations summit today. Reparations press conference today. Church meeting today. Children meeting today. Storytelling today in the name of H.R. 40. As they say in the church, to God be the glory. But all faith ought to be blessed. And remember, the Constitution belongs to us. And H.R. 40 exudes itself out of this book. That's all we're doing. And all that we will accomplish will be for the greater good of this nation.
All right. That was the voice of the Honorable Sheila Jackson Lee, the indefatigable, the courageous visionary. I mean, she is on a mission. And of course, that day of action, that wave, if you go to the website, reparations, again, reparations, you can spell that out, reparations, and then com.org. Right now, you will see that wave pointing towards the White House with tweets and emails and phones and all of that kind of stuff. And it will give you an indication of how you can move forward tomorrow, as we're going to create that tsunami. We're going to create that giant wave that the Congresswoman talked about. That was an excerpt from a speech, her concluding speech at the virtual rally. That was just a powerful virtual rally. We want to open up to our listening audience now at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Several different topics that are related. Number one, the significance of Juneteenth as a reparations and racial justice day. As you know, we got people out here floating ice cream and watermelon salads and all kind of stuff within the context of capitalism trying to exploit it, as can be anticipated. You might want to talk about what you're planning to do, your organization, and what your organization may be planning on Juneteenth. The second thing is, just want to continue to uplift the whole notion of the big payback. If you Google that or put it into the search engine, you'll be able to get a, the trailer for the big payback. There will be a free screening at the Apollo on the evening of June 19th. I think it's like 4 o'clock p.m. Robin Ruth Simmons will be there. And then, again, the Say the Word reparations campaign in New Jersey, all that's on the table. It's all things reparations. That's all we're talking about today is reparations. And so we invite you to call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And again, to indicate to you, just take it down, take it down. This is radioactivism. It's creating, being a part of making history. And believe me, you can be a part of making history, because that we're going to create that wave tomorrow. It is reparations. Reparationscom.org. Reparationscom.org. Write that down or go visit it right now and get yourself ready. Family, friends, neighbors, tell everybody. Be a part of this wave tomorrow. Again, it's all things reparations. Give us a call, your opinions, your ideas, ideas about how to move it forward. 212-209-2877. Got a few minutes left. If you call right now, we're going to do rapid fire. Give you a minute or so to give your perspective and your opinion. Again, 212-209-2877 is the number to call to get in with the professor. Again, our congratulations and appreciation to the People's Organization for Progress. Popping, moving very strong in a range of issues that you heard. And again, that number, if you are interested in joining and being a part of the People's Organization for Progress, 973-801-0001. That's 973-801-0001. But the story of the hour is, again, we're mobilizing, organizing, educating, doing everything possible to create that wave that the Congresswoman just talked about. We're going to, I've sent it out to my family. I'll be on it all day tomorrow. all day tomorrow. I'll be out there trying to get people to make calls, and you can tweet, you can send an email, you can also call. All that information is right there for you. All right, let's get the conversation started. Let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello. Good afternoon, Dr. Daniel. This is Jean-Pierre Brutus. I'm a senior counsel at the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice. I work alongside our executive director, Dr. Ryan Haglund, as well as our other wonderful colleagues. And I just want to lift up what Chairman Hamm from the People's Organization of Progress had pointed out, that we'll be holding a rally this Friday, June 17th, in Newark, starting at noon. You can meet at the Lincoln Statue on Market Street and Springfield Avenue, and we'll be marching over to the City Hall at 920 Broad Street with speakers starting at 1:30. Now, the rally and the march is for reparations, justice, and democracy. We're rallying and marching in support of the Reparations Task Force Bill here in New Jersey, which is a state-level version of H.R. 40, Bill 8938. If your listeners want to find out more about our campaign, go to njifj.org/save the word. We've got 11 locations so far in New Jersey to pass resolutions in support of this bill. We want to get this bill out of committee, and we want to get it passed. New Jersey was the first state to introduce this legislation, and it should be the first state in the North to pass this legislation. In addition, we're also marching to close youth prisons. You can go to kidsnotprisons.org to find more about that. For same day voter registration, please go to democracyinaday.org. And for police accountability, go to peacefulaccountabilitynj.org. Now, if you want to contact your legislator to let them know that you support reparations here in New Jersey, a reparations task force, go to 400yearsnj.org. It's a communication toolkit that once you put in your information, will automatically give you a link that you can call, tweet, or text your legislator and let them know that you support this bill, 8938.
Right.
Get a reparations task force passed here in New Jersey. And we're doing all the work that we can to get this done. So I want to thank Chairman Hamm, Ingrid Hill, as well as the People's Organization for Progress, for working with this institute and working with all these 50 organizations to get this done.
Right. But what you also want to do is add to your toolkit the H.R. 40 on the move day of action tomorrow. So I think we have sent that information to you. So hopefully you'll add that to your toolkit tomorrow. That's tomorrow. So we hope that you'll do that as well. And if not, right after I get off the air, I'll make sure that it's sent again, because we would hope that this awesome organization, New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, under the leadership of Dr. Ryan Haglund, will be on board with that. I know that Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee has adopted and has often spoke about to say the word reparations. She's adopted that. She's heard about it. She's fully supportive. It's synergistic. So tomorrow, let's push for H.R. 40 as well. ReparationsCom.org. ReparationsCom with two M's.org. Thanks much. Appreciate your call. Let's move to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi. My name is Eugene from Brooklyn. I first want to thank you, Dr. Daniels, for this opportunity to...
You got your radio on in the background, so we're kind of hearing some radio.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
It would be a great idea if we, as an African-American, I want you to know that I'm very, very moved by both issues, both the issue of Juneteenth and reparations, because my family tree lineage is directly from Africa to Richmond, Virginia, to Fairfax, Virginia. So right, that's it. We never, the Brown family took over with us, and that was a wrap. So I'm looking forward to this day. It holds special meaning for me and my family. I think, though, it would be great if we had a list of events that are going on, because if we don't watch it, the narrative of this day will be commercialized, and the honor that and the homage that we want to pay to our ancestors will not be recognized at all and get lost in the commercial.
Right.
Last but not least, I think it would behoove us to talk a little bit more about how to communicate Juneteenth to Black folks other black folk in the African diaspora who have come to this country as immigrants. Many of them have bought into the white narrative, the American white narrative about the African-American being some lazy individual, and many of them feed into a system of denying us or not sharing opportunities and other situations with us because they have bought into these stereotypes and these ideas. And unfortunately, that I've seen that in our African and Caribbean and Latino brothers. So it would be great for us to, first of all, to be some discussion about how here in America, no one made a decision about who you were. If your skin was black,
That's what Malcolm said. Malcolm said, we all catch hell for the same reason. We all catch hell because we're black people. I got your point. We work on that in the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, which is an organization that we have that within the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. Your point is well taken. I don't think it is quite as bad as it might seem. There are many, many, many progressive organizations within the diaspora that are working on this issue. But there is some of that we really need to work on in order to make sure that we're all together as one united black people. They did not ask Abner Louima whether he was from Haiti when they tortured him, nor was Amadou Diallo asked whether he was from Guinea before he was gunned down as well. So your point is well taken. And let me move on to our final caller. Let's get one more call in on as we move towards Reparations Action Day. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Dr. Daniels. Good afternoon, Mr. Hamm. My name is Natalia Armstrong, and I am a community advocate and activist out of Trenton, New Jersey, and I am a staunch supporter of reparations. I just want to say that we have to keep in mind as we advocate that we will not have wealth by 2053. The economists have been screaming this for years. We are on the bottom of every measurable metric, such as housing, education, employment, what have you. And that's despite us being our ancestors building the country. That's despite us being major contributors to one of the richest countries in the world. And we cannot close the wealth gap, as it will take 225 to 228 years to close. That is in direct line with the institution of slavery. There is nothing we can do to close it. No exceptionalism will close this wealth gap. The only thing that will close it is reparations, and we must come together and demand that we get justice finally after all of these years. Our ancestors are owed justice for the things that they went through, and so are we, because it was not just for the institution of slavery, but all the accrued disadvantages there.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to quickly say that, and I just want to also say we must continue to scream and support and advocate for the bill that's in the state house in New Jersey, A938 and S386. That's the New Jersey Reparations Task Force bill, and of course HR 40 in Washington D.C.
All right, we appreciate that. In order to do that again, to get ready for tomorrow, reparations.com. That's reparations. Spell that out with reparations. And then it's two M's on com, COMM.org. Go to the website right now and you'll see what to do tomorrow. Don't do it prematurely. We want it to hit hard. One solid wave, as the Congresswoman has talked about, tomorrow. And you can do it over and over and over and over again, because we are going to get this done. So happy to be able to have this conversation with the People's Organization for Progress, someone to call in from the New Jersey Institute for Social Justice, a strong organization in New Jersey, and all of you who have called in. We're going to get this done. We're on the prefaces of making history, but we have to do our part. We have to actually do it. So we want to ring, 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 tweet, 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 email, 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 be a part of that wave tomorrow. And do your part to make Juneteenth a day of reparations and racial justice. Be with your family. Do all kind of good stuff. But don't buy into this watermelon salad and this ice cream and all this madness being put on with these corporations. There will be some of that, but we know how to ignore it. Once again, this is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels. Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of Vantage Point. And we know we're going to hear that wave. We're going to hear that wave hitting tomorrow. We'll see you again here next week to report on the results here on Vantage Point, 99.5 FM, That's on WBI Pacifica Network. We'll see you again next week.